sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series!
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast.
But we didn't come here to drink beer! We came here to win this ballgame!
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I said to the Uber boy, I said, take me out with the crowd!
What's going on, Cubs fans? You're listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Sean Sears. I am joined today by my co-host, Ryan Davis, and Dave Kaplan. You can listen to him on the radio at ESPN 1000, Cap and the J-Hood Show, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Of course, he's at NBC Sports Chicago, where we were co-workers there, of course, and he's still there hosting the Football After Show. I'm sure he'll have plenty of baseball content coming through on NBC Sports Chicago throughout the season for the Cubs, but we were super excited to get Cap on the show. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCapMan, but we talk about the Cubs' financial situation, what, you know, it could mean that the Cubs are saying now they can afford a pitcher, despite Cap being the one that reported initially that the Ricketts had close to $1 billion of debt on their offer books. He talks through that financial situation a little bit. We also discuss what the heck to expect from this team a week out from spring training. Some of his thoughts on the moves the Cubs made this offseason. And then we finish up the show asking him questions that he has to respond to by saying either yes or hell yes. And Ryan put together some really awesome questions. So Cap was very much on board and super stoked for that, which was the best part of it. So without further ado, here is our interview with Dave Kaplan. Hey guys, Sean Sears here from Locked On Cubs to talk to you guys about Built Bar. Built Bar is one of the best tasting protein bars I've ever had. I know I talk to you guys about this all the time, but Built Bar is not only one of the best tasting protein bars with flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake. It's a new one I've been trying. Those are all new flavors, but they've got their original flavors too, like peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie. I love mint brownie. That's been my breakfast of choice the last couple months now. But the bars are 100% covered in chocolate, super easy to chew, soft, but the best thing about them is they're healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy, losing weight, whether that's losing, maintaining weight. It's a nice treat to indulge yourself with. They're low calorie, low sugar, high fiber, high protein. It's great for the keto diet if you're trying to lose weight during quarantine here right now. But take, for instance, the cherry Baraka. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. That is incredibly healthy for you, is good for you, obviously, but also tastes really good. It's a nice snack to have throughout the day. It's better than me chewing on, like, I don't know, a donut. I'm a big fan of Goldfish and chips and crackers. It's nice to be able to just eat one of these protein bars. I'm relatively full. I don't snack throughout the day, and I'm ready to eat dinner later on in the day. It's nice. I don't spoil my meal, and my girlfriend doesn't get mad at me when I don't want to eat the dinner she just made. But Built Bar has the promo code Locked On to get yourself 20% off your next order. So you head to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You save yourself 20% off your next order of Built Bars. They're delicious. They're nutritious. They're easy to bring anywhere on the go. Great snack for work from home. Head to BuiltBar.com, use promo code Locked On, save yourself 20% off, and give these guys a shout out. They've been doing awesome work for the Locked On Network and are making some of the best protein bars you'll ever have. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money, and you can use that for other important things like mortgage, food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, nearly 100% more for the exact same part at a chain store or a new car dealership? For an example, a fuel pump for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey can cost $353 in an advanced big chain store. On Rock Auto, that's $216.79. Awesome. Why would you spend more money for that? Crazy, right? RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto body parts and for hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, Cubs fans, joining us today is David Kaplan. He's the host of Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. And of course, you can see him on NBC Sports Chicago. He's the host of the Football After Show. Follow Cap on Twitter at TheCapMan. But Dave, thanks for being on the show.
Guys, thank you for having me. Sean, Ryan, it's an honor to talk baseball with you.
Of course. Awesome. Yeah, we're excited to have you on, Cap. Obviously, we're heading into spring training. It's around the corner, quite literally. Pitchers and catchers reporting next week. But we're looking at this Cubs roster a little bit. Kind of a lot of questions going on here. There's talk today, at least it sounds like a pitcher is probably going to come into the works here now. But the Cubs situation has kind of been all about money this year. I know you talked a lot about at the beginning of the offseason about the Cubs having close to $1 billion on their books. Things have changed a little bit, but I guess what's your take on this Cubs team right now?
Look, they, first of all, had to get under the luxury tax. And I know that there are fans out there going, why? They're owned by billionaires. First of all, people get to be billionaires because they're really good at managing their money. The Ricketts family, for as long as I've been around, and I was there the day they took over October 30, 2009, when they had their press conference, they have always maintained that they run it as a separate business. If the Cubs are losing money, but they're making $1 billion owning a car dealership, they're not going to take money from the car dealership and stick it in the Cubs coffers and go, well, it's all from the same family. They don't do it that way. They run it as a business. And the penalties for being over the luxury tax three consecutive years are so onerous, you have to get under and reset. The Yankees did it. The Dodgers did it. The Red Sox are currently doing it. And the Chicago Cubs needed to do it. Because as soon as you start giving away draft picks and paying 50% penalties, it's not the, let's call it $10 million that the penalty might be, but you start to lose your revenue share that you get from the league. You lose some of it. You can lose draft picks, as I said. You've got to reset. You can't just keep redlining spending, because if I said to you that we took last year's Cubs team or 2019 or 2018 and I gave each player a $10 million raise, so now your payroll is over $450 million. They still don't win the World Series. So it's not how much you spend, it's who you spend it on. And the fact that they haven't developed one pitcher of consequence in 9 years, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. And obviously, the whether we or fans like it or not, you're absolutely right about how they run that business. And for me, this is the question I wanted to ask, because they're talking more about, now we've found some money, or we have some more money that we can spend now. And then Crane Kenny talked today on the radio about, well, we have some more money now we could spend, and we need pitching. We could go get a pitcher. Is it possible, or how possible is it, that you think this is an intentional message designed to regain leverage in trade discussions? Because there's more rumors about the Mets. The Cubs say they don't have to trade Chris Bryant, and it's good for them if the Mets believe they don't have to shed more salary. And I'm guessing Jed Hoyer doesn't want to get, regardless of how those prospects turn out, it was publicly embarrassing to trade Yu Darvish for what he got. So I assume they're trying to avoid that. How possible do you think my conspiracy theory is to be incorrect?
I won't say that they sat down and had a meeting and went, okay, here's what we're going to do. Jed, you go on with Cap. Crane, you go on the Score. And let's make everyone think, oh, the finances are fine. If you want Chris Bryant, you better come armed with, your best prospects. Let me go back to the Darvish trade. I, in and of itself, just trading a guy who's had multiple arm surgeries, which he did. He had a Tommy John before the Cubs. He had arm surgery in 18. He's going to be 35 during the season. In and of itself, I don't have a problem trading you Darvish. I don't. It's the return you got. And look, the White Sox took on James Shields. They gave up a 17-year-old kid, and he turned into Fernando Tatis Jr. Maybe that's what the Cubs just did. We don't know. That's going to take 3 or 4 years to play out. But when you demand that the team on the other end, who, by the way, is a small market team, take on $52 million of the 60 that you still owe you Darvish, that for me is a problem. You're a big market team. You want to trade you Darvish? That's fine. You can even get the return you got. That's fine. But then you've got to go out and take the savings and go get, I'm not saying Trevor Bauer, but why can't you be in play on Charlie Morton, who's a damn good pitcher and got $15 million to go to the Braves? That's just one example. If you don't want John Lester back, who told you, hey, I'll pitch for whatever, just be fair, $3 million. Nope, John, we can't make any offers. And now he gets a $5 million offer from the Washington Nationals, and the Cubs run to go, oh, wait a minute. We can make an offer. And John's response privately is, well, wait a second. You just told me you couldn't make an offer. I told you I'd play for $3 million. Now I got an offer. You don't want to look like you never offered me money. So now let's make an offer so we can say we made an offer. I would have preferred if they had called John up and said, hey, man, here's the deal. We love you. You're one of the greatest signings in Chicago sports history. You helped us win a World Series. And when you signed here, it signified we're open for business. The Cubs are back, but we can't bring you back. We're going in a different direction. Do that rather than we can't make any offers until he gets an offer. And now our offer is $2 or $3 million behind what the Washington Nationals give. That's what bothered me with how they handled that. So that backdrop back to Darvish, trade Darvish. That's fine. Go spend the money and put a team out there. You shouldn't be going, all right, well, what do we do now? We've got to get more pitching. Do we sign Jake Arrieta? Who, he's not going to be the Jake Arrieta of 2015-16. I hate to inform people. He's just not. I know he had a hamstring last year. The year before, he had arm surgery. He's going to be okay, and he wants a ton of money. He wants $10 million. James Paxton, the James Paxton in Seattle and in the first year or two in New York, he was really good. I'm not convinced he's worth the $11 million that he came out the other day and said that he wants. Jeff Samardzija, stop yourself. He's a great guy. He's okay. He's never achieved the heights everyone thought, and he's made a ton of money. So my point is, now we have money to go get pitching because, quote unquote, the projections have changed because hopefully we're all going to be vaccinated and we might have fans June, July, through the rest of the season. So you got a little more money in your coffers. Well, the problem is there's not much pitching left.
Yeah.
Unless you're a big fan of Taiwan Walker, which I am. I thought he had a good year last year.
He's okay.
But I have the same problems with all the guys you listed. Walker has had injury histories, but he was healthy last year. Paxton was not healthy last year. And in general, I don't think he's pitched over 160 innings in a year in his entire career. So, is that, for the money that you said, it's obviously not what you would want to spend.
Who's your leadoff guy this year?
Right. Great question. They don't really have one unless you're going with the platoon. I would assume Mariznick could maybe lead off, but he's not a high on base guy.
Mariznick's going to play a lot. He's really, really good defensive outfielder. He runs well. He's not an everyday player. I think they could platoon him. You got him for a very cheap price. If you're truly trying to win and you're in a division that is eminently winnable, I'm just telling you, if you're truly trying to win, you're not leading off Jake Mariznick except in the second game of a doubleheader on a getaway day. So I don't have a problem that they let Dexter Fowler go. I loved Nova. I'm looking at a picture while I'm talking to you right now. It's on my wall of Wrigley Field, November 2nd, 2016, when the Cubs won the World Series, and I was in Cleveland. It's the coolest sports moment of my life. It was incredible to do that. And then you let Dexter leave to go to the Cardinals. I wouldn't have given him $82.5 million either. But replace the damn guy. Go get a leadoff guy. Instead, every year we heard our offense is broken. We got to maybe change it up. And guess what? We're sitting here now talking on the 12th of February, 2021. And other than getting rid of Kyle Schwarber on a non-tender, what else have you done?
Right. That's really what you got to look at this team. Cause you feel that they want to try and make changes. Cause as you talked about at the top of the show, Cap, like they have no pitching. Braylon Marquez looks great, but we saw him pitch for a couple innings and he kind of imploded at the end of the season.
Yeah, obviously. I don't put anything in that. I mean, you're asking a guy to go from Class A to the minor leagues. He's 21 years old, throws 101 miles an hour. I think he's going to be just fine if he stays healthy. I have zero issues with Braylon Marquez.
Sure.
But as we go back to the 2012 draft, and this is just me being honest. Okay, you took Albert Almora sixth overall. That was a bust. Mm. Chris Bryant at number two, that's a wild success. No question about it. You took Kyle Schwarber at four overall. Go look at some of the guys in that draft. Yes, he was really good on one leg in the World Series, but was that a wildly successful pick? You never got him re-signed, and now you non-tender him? I'll argue with you, it was not. You took Ian Happ. I like Ian Happ. Has he performed at the level of a top 10 major league pick? I hope it's coming, because I think he's a good dude, and I think he really works hard. But I'll argue with you, their draft record, not real stellar.
Right. Yep. Outside of... like you said, like outside of the slam dunk picks that were obvious, there's some question marks throughout. But what were you saying, Ryan?
I was going to say that that's something that Sean and I have, we've talked about regularly on this show, is that, you know, there are the financial issues on the business side and with the Ricketts family and how some of the spending has been uneven, if we want to put it lightly. But you can't ignore the fact that when Theo Epstein first arrived, this was kind of an expectation, was you weren't just going to hit on number two picks, but that you were going to get talent in the middle rounds and you were going to develop pitching. And they had a strategy where they looked at, you know, college pitchers and guys like Carson Sands and Dylan Cease, who it looks like he's eventually going to make it, you know, as a pretty decent pitcher, hopefully. But, you know, like, you know, they missed on all this talent. And they, you know, I wrote a piece a long time ago for Forbes where I even broke down, like, here's who they took in the middle rounds in this draft, and here's who was still on the board, you know. And it's just shocking to look back and think, you know, and this is the guy, you know, that led the team, built the team to a World Series, but at the same time, the drafting hasn't been any better than, you know, necessarily the Jim Hendry era.
Well, let's just, again, I'm just being honest. The two best players you have now that came through the system were acquired by Jim Hendry. That's Javi Baez and Wilson Contreras. The best player and the face of your team, based on how they played, is Anthony Rizzo. He was acquired in a trade. Theo made some amazing trades. And Theo's not the guy, he's in the draft room, but he lets his scouting director have autonomy. Jason just didn't do a very good job in his picks. And then there's Chris Bryant. Chris, after 15, 16, 17, then he would easily be ahead of Javier Baez and Wilson Contreras. But based on where he's been in 18, 19, he wasn't bad. He went to the All-Star game. He didn't have an amazing year, but he had a good year. 20 was just a train wreck for a lot of people. So, you know, if you're ranking guys, you're signing to extensions, if you can't sign them all, I'm always keeping Anthony Rizzo because I think he'll be reasonable in his demand. I think he's the face of your franchise, and he's amazing in the community. He's done everything you've asked. He should retire as a Chicago Cub. And that leaves you Baez, Bryant, Contreras. Chris can say all he wants that he was not offered an extension. I had Theo Epstein on the air, quote, on the air, we offered large extensions to every one of our core guys. So if Chris Bryant's going to say he did not get this extension offer, then he's calling his former boss a liar. So I believe Theo. I believe there was an extension there, and I don't think Chris will ever come close to the money that was put on the table after the World Series.
Yeah. We're talking with Dave Kaplan here. You can follow him on Twitter at the Kapman. Dave, I wanted to get your thoughts on just, obviously we're talking about this Cubs team, the direction now, but it's really hard to figure out where the heck they're going. They've kind of made middle steps between rebuilding and retooling a little bit. You signed Jock Peterson, but you trade Yu Darvish for four prospects and, you know, Zach Davies. It's hard to figure out where they want to go. It sounds like they're figuring things out. They're going to have talks about extensions at spring training, but in terms of where this team is going direction-wise, like prospects, they've got some guys, but they're not quite ready yet. And then in terms of the talent on the field, a lot of it's gone after next season. Where do you see this team going?
They internally believe, and they may not be wrong, They internally believe that they can win the division in 2021 if they add a little more pitching. Now, that is not a huge statement because that division stinks. The Pirates aren't trying. They simply are not. They're trying to rebuild again. The Reds got rid of their closer. They got rid of their best starter by not re-signing Trevor Bauer. They haven't gone out and added anything of substance. So the Reds are certainly running in place or going backwards. The Milwaukee Brewers, they're okay. What have they added? Nothing. Colton Wong. It's the only huge move, if you call that a huge move. And then you got the Cardinals, who I still don't think have enough pitching. They did go out and add Nolan Arenado, who's a very, very good baseball player. But you're telling me the Cubs can't find a way to add a little more pitching, find some money in the couch cushions, and win the division? If they stay healthy, they absolutely can.
All right. So we wanted to finish out with something a little bit on the fun side with you. So I came up with a kind of a question and answer game, but here's the trick on the answer. Mm-hmm. Your options for every answer are yes or hell yes.
Okay.
You good with this?
Come on. I love this. Let's go.
I thought of this with you specifically in mind. All right. First question. Jock Peterson hits more homers than Kyle Schwarber in 2021. Yes or hell yes?
Yes.
All right. Next question. Somebody on Cubs radio or TV refers to Zach Davies as Kyle Davies during spring training. Yes or hell yes?
Hell yes.
All right. Cubs fans complain nonstop about Boog Sciambi during this season, but by 2023, defend him as the best play-by-play man in the biz. Yes or hell yes?
Wow. People like to complain, so I'll say yes, but let me just say Boog Sciambi's a freaking amazing announcer.
Yeah. I agree, and I think he is one of the best in the biz, but I think Cubs fans will just find a reason.
Yep.
Next question. The Cubs will be able to afford hiring a new general manager by 2025. Yes or hell yes?
Hell yes.
And I added this one, the last one, because I know you're a basketball guy. Zach LaVine is an all-star and one of the 20 best players in the NBA right now. Yes or hell yes?
One of the 20 best players. See, you put me in a trick box here because he is an all-star based on how he's playing. One of the 20 best?
I feel like 20 is
sign that. I go back to my scouting days, and I want to sign him long-term. I love him, but he's got to learn how to play better defensively and quit turning it over so much. Right. I'll say, can I split it and go all-star? Hell yes. Top 20? Kind of.
We'll let it slide.
Yeah,
for you,
we'll let it slide. you got a lot of points on the other questions for getting the correct answers. So
yeah, you nailed those. Cap, last question for you before you wrap up. Obviously, spring training around the corner here. What's the one thing you're looking towards this team to tell you if it's going to truly compete in 2021 or if they're going to maybe kind of play it out and move some pieces at the deadline? What's that one thing you're looking for this spring training?
Contact out of their hitters. I don't want to see. You know, they face the Marlins at Wrigley. They score, what, one run in 2 days? I mean, come on.
It was rough.
There are good hitters on this roster. I also believe Anthony Rizzo will have his best offensive season of his career because he's in amazing shape again, and he knows, hey, man, I have to come out of the gates and get this thing rolling the first half because I'm going to put them in a really tough spot that they have to sign me. He doesn't want to play somewhere else. He's so intertwined with our community. He wants to be a Cub the rest of his career. So I think Anthony Rizzo has to have a monster year. But I just want to see the ball in play and go, wow, that looks like the offense from 2016. We're actually making contact.
Yeah, it'd be nice, right? It'd be nice to see guys drive the ball, not hit it in the ground. Making contact in general, we'll take it. But, Cap, it's always great having you on. We always appreciate your time. As always, you guys can see Cap on NBC Sports Chicago for the Football After Show. You can listen to him on ESPN Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Cap, thanks for taking the time, man.
Anytime, Sean and Ryan, you guys have my number. Just reach out, whatever you want. I love talking baseball.
Of course.
Sounds great.
Thanks again, Cap. All right, Cubs fans, that'll do it here for today's episode of Locked On Cubs. We appreciate you guys sticking through. Of course, thanks to Dave Kaplan for coming on the show. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCapMan. Listen to him on ESPN 1000 Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. And of course, you can see him on NBC Sports Chicago whenever, hosting the football after show, but of course, doing plenty of other things for NBC Sports Chicago, because Dave does all things and is the most busy man in media. So we appreciate him taking the time. Of course, you can follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Q Davis. Follow me on Twitter at Sean R Sears. And you can follow Locked On Cubs on Twitter at, you guessed it, Locked On Cubs. But we appreciate you guys sticking around. You enjoy the rest of your weekend. And as always, go Cubs.